Hey, everybody. As the co-host of your Chillpack Hollywood Hour, it's always delightful to shoot the transatlantic breeze with the UK Midweek Drive team. Together, we aim to provide the best possible audio backdrop for political sanity in the 21st century. This is Phil Lairness, reporting from the middle ground between science and superstition. And you have entered the podcast zone.
Just heard it. We've just heard the sky is falling. Chicken Little? No, it's The Sky Is Falling, quite literally, Chloe Rose's latest single. But of course, it doesn't matter a hill of beans, to quote Bogart, if we don't get the Midweek Drivette's view on indeed The Sky Is Falling. So let's not beat around the bush. Let's turn straight away.
Let's not even go near that bush.
Let's just step away from that.
Put that stick down and stop beating around it.
Yeah, and let's avoid the whole challenge of running up that hill and sorting through all other bits and pieces. Let us go straight away to Little London and say, Philip Hurdwood, what did you make of Chloe Rose's Sky Is Falling?
Well, With Robin, I think it's absolutely stunning. And it's exactly the kind of sound, the kind of music I really, really like. And I'd love to know what kind of genre she would sort of consider it as being. But it is exactly the kind of music I love. And her voice is just knockout. Really is.
This is good. So interesting stuff there. Who knows what will actually happen with respect to the whole thing. We do welcome, of course, from Gibraltar, famous now, world famous, Gabriella Peralta. I say this, Gabriella, because at last you managed to actually put Gibraltar once again on the map, courtesy indeed of that interesting sort of organ, the Daily Telegraph. Just share with us what's happening with the Daily Telegraph and Gibraltar.
So they wanted an article just kind of celebrating Gibraltar's vaccination campaign, because we've vaccinated almost all the population. Wow. So in a population of 32,000, this is including, plus there's probably another 15,000 cross-frontier workers that will soon be vaccinated too. But we've currently had about like 30,000 vaccines, like the 27,000 of which have got their double dose. So wow. We've had a really, really high uptake over here, talking about like in the 90%, which has, I think, surprised everyone as well. We expected a high uptake, but we had such a terrible January with so many deaths.
Really?
Yeah, we think that really kind of helped propel the vaccine. And plus, when people start realizing, they start seeing each other, that no one's, I don't know, grown a third arm and everyone's fine.
Yeah.
They started
not that
calling
you notice
back
in Gibraltar anyway, would you really, Gabrielle? I mean, if
that's the Isle of Man. You're thinking of the Isle of Man, Alexia. You're thinking of the Isle of Man, that is. Not Gibraltar. Yeah. Different island.
I get so confused these days, honestly. It's just it's just a strange world entirely. But Gabriella, you've also had a chance to listen to Chloe Rose's number, The Sky is Falling. We've heard what Philip Hurdwood has said about the whole thing. He's also preempted
Robin. Which was a massive big thumbs up, by the way.
Yay!
Massive, massive.
Gabriella, will it float in Gibraltar? Will it actually do the business? How did you find Chloe's number?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really nice, calm song that I can listen to on a nice, sunny afternoon. So that it kind of gave me those vibes.
Very good.
Two arms and not three arms, which is even more wonderful. Katie Grimerson in Birmingham, you are a resident musical critic, and Lord knows you've actually destroyed musical careers in times past. The Oasis boys, of course, Liam and Noel, were petrified, as far as I recall, in terms of some of the things you put together. But what are your thoughts on Chloe's little number?
Oh, I loved it. I found it so soothing, and I think Chloe sounds a bit like Ellie Goulding. I've said it before, so I'll say it again. Yeah, really liked it.
I'll take that, Katie. Thank you very much.
This makes good sense. Let's move over to Taryn. I mean, Taryn, excited over swimming today for the first time. Very exciting.
Yes.
Even more exciting. It's only a couple of days before April the 1st launches. And of course, the sky doesn't fall. It's falling. Chicken Little. Taryn, what did you make of Chloe's little number?
I really enjoyed it, and I thought exactly the same. It sounded like Ellie Goulding. I couldn't remember her name, who it sounded like, but she's got that lovely, sort of smoky sound, but fresh at the same time. And it did. I'm trying to think of the song. What did Ellie Goulding sing, that nice one?
She did your song. She did that Elton John version.
We're not here to talk about Ellie Goulding. She's not on the call. So I'm sorry.
Ellie Goulding is so last year. We now have a new kid on the block, let's be fair.
Yes.
Lovely voice, smoky sound, and then you go up to those top notes so easily.
Yeah, and you've got that lovely break in your voice too.
Yes, which I think is absolutely. Lovely break. So you should have a really good career there.
One question just before I forget, because I'm very forgetful these days. What genre would you say that your music fits into?
It's an odd one, really, because I don't know if it's kind of pop, but pop folky, but pop country. Do you know what I mean?
I can't
pick one thing, but yeah, it's got that country vibe with it at the same time.
Absolutely.
Could it be the genre of good music, Chloe? The genre of good music. Just a thought.
Yes, I hope so.
Let's hope This role keeps
on. You have a very powerful voice too. You have a wonderful, powerful voice.
Oh, thank you.
It has been suggested she'd make a very good Bond theme singer. I just put that out there in terms of James Bond. Mind you, those movies might be coming to an end shortly, so who knows what could happen. Let's turn to Rebecca Bond. Speaking of Bonds, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Chloe, your voice is absolutely beautiful. I've said it before. It's beautifully haunting and soothing and calming, all of those things at once. And I think that combined with your songwriting ability just makes the perfect song. So I absolutely loved it.
Oh, thanks, Rebecca. Honestly, I'm going bright red.
Oh, don't be silly. No, you deserve all the praise you're getting. You really do. You deserve to hear how well you're doing.
Oh, thanks, Rebecca.
Rebecca, not messing about in any way, shape or form with respect to praise and other factors and so on. But let's turn to North Carolina. North Carolina, is it going to get 12 points from your good self? It's a European reference, Jessica. Don't worry about it. But Jessica, what are your thoughts on Chloe's little number? Of course, co-written by Harry David and indeed produced by Harry David. What are your thoughts on this little number?
Well, I have to say, I was so excited to listen to this because I've been seeing it on your Instagram, Chloe, and everyone's so bright. Like, you have the voice of an angel. I always love your songs. And I have to say, like, your music, it does sound like it belongs in a movie. Like, it sounds like it'd be a soundtrack or something. Like, it sounds like nighttime and, like, glittering outfits and falling flowers and everything beautiful. So I loved it. It was very, very beautiful.
That's like the best compliment ever because thanks so much, Jessica, because I've always wanted to write music that was in the background of films and TV shows. So honestly, wow, thank you so much. What a compliment.
Awarded most talented songwriter at Battle of the Bands Lincoln, previously selected to attend the UK International Songwriting Festival, Miss Lincolnshire 2018, 2019, and Miss Great Britain finalist, and of course BBC Introducing Artists. I have a slight gripe here, Chloe, because you say music played on numerous radio stations, including BBC Radio Lincolnshire, BBC Radio Humberside, Lynx FM, Gravity FM, Harbour FM, and Compass FM. Now, I see a slight lacuna there. I see a slight lacuna, a slight gap, which Robin Pierce might actually sort of drive a coach and horses through. There's one, or indeed two radio stations there that might not be actually on that list. And I just think, I mean, this could plunge you down from a 10 out of 10 to a 3 out of 10, I can sense, Robin. Because, you know, we've been always singing well, but, you know.
This is terrible.
Oh, Alex. He always leaves me till last because, as you know, I'm beginning to get a reputation, thanks to Alex, of being the siren radio grouch.
It's more like you're the kind of shut it hard man from the Welsh perspective, basically. Yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to get over the fact that you use the words interesting organ on the radio. I mean, wow.
No, that's enough. That's enough.
I think so. That's quite enough for you, Mr. Lefchuk. Anyway.
The Telegraph is quite an interesting organ, run by a lot of interesting organ writers.
Oh, good luck. He's making it worse.
He's digging it deeper.
Right then.
Well, go on, Robin.
I've listened to this many times today. I've even discussed it via email with Phil.
Indeed.
Here comes the verdict. That is a worthy successor to Hearts on the Line. I absolutely loved it. You keep proving me right that your songs have a Stevie Nicks kind of vibe. You have the Stevie Nicks range. She is my favorite female vocalist. And Phil will, I'm sure, prove me right in this. I wrote to him earlier on and said, Chloe Rose is fast becoming one of my favorite vocalists.
Yeah.
And Stevie Nicks better watch out. Now then, one thing I would like to hear you do, and that is, much as I love the music, I don't know that I'd call it country. I'd call it more soft rock. It's better than pop. It's way better than pop. It's not that throwaway rubbish. I would like to hear you sing something a little raunchier.
A cappella, Robin. You wanted to break into a cappella moment at this particular moment in time.
No. On the CD, which I'm trying my best to encourage you to do so I can pre-order it somewhere because you know Hearts on the Line is already on my playlist on my smart speaker so I'm looking to add to my collection. Chloe, with my hand on my heart, I will tell you this is a 10. Okay.
Yes.
You will be going through to the next round. You will be going through to the next round.
It's hit the buzzer.
Glitter. Yeah,
so, Gabriella, wearing your journalist hat now, would you like to quiz Chloe about life, the universe, and other things, and maybe why she's decided to just not even mention Siren Radio these days? That's what you listen to the station on. It's par for the course.
Let me explain. I can't cope. I can't leave it this way. I know you want Gabrielle to talk. I just need to explain quickly. The press release, I was panicking last night and I rushed it up together. And I always say about Siren FM, Siren FM this, Siren FM that. I mention it all the time. I'm sorry it wasn't in there. You know how much I appreciate you. Oh, gosh, I'm so embarrassed.
Chloe, do not worry. It just add a little grist to that little oyster, which enables even more pearls to actually be developed. That's the important thing.
Mark it in.
I mean, Taryn, have I actually sort
of stirring the pot, isn't he? He's really stirring the pot.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Taryn, I didn't rip into you for being somewhat tardy for our feature on David Dean Bottrell. I mean, it's only 25 minutes late. It happens, you know. You sell you that whole thing.
22 minutes late.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I was trying to find the Zoom because it came on Messenger and I was looking in my messages and...
it's such a nightmare, honestly.
And the good thing is I got to do double shows, so, how lucky
exactly.
am I?
This is true. Double shows. Very important. Gabriella, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, sure. So how come the name of the song, Sky is Falling, and just tell me a bit about the songwriting and when you did it, how you did it, all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we wrote the song last year and it was during a time that we could write it. I know obviously everything with COVID, it's not been ideal. The idea was kind of like I like to give a little mystery and sort of not tell you everything just because I like the audience to kind of come up with their own interpretation. But I'll tell you some details because I get excited. So it's based on like two people that are in love with each other. And it's kind of about that if the world came to an end, who would be the one person that you wanted to spend that last moment with? And it's having that person by your side till the end. And I know it sounds quite dramatic, the sky is falling, but the song, it's kind of uplifting at the same time. It's not really, the apocalypse as such, but I was trying to get that across. I guess in times like these as well, with COVID as well, we're sort of not seeing everybody we need to see and we've got to stick together. So hopefully you enjoyed the song and that's what it's about. Well, kind of.
Fantastic.
And can you perform once? I don't know how it is in the UK right now. I think you guys are still coming out of lockdown, but will you be able to do anything, any performances or anything when it's all over?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. I know... a lovely gentleman called Tony, who that Alex knows really well, actually. He's helping with like the PR side of everything. And he's asked about if I wanted to perform at a venue. So I'm going to bring Harry along with me so he can play the guitar.
Chloe,
as well,
Tony will start it up for you. Don't worry. Tony is on the case. He's all right. He will do it. Don't worry. He's a done deal.
Oh, sorry. I was challenging my inner Tony there. Philip can probably answer.
Is there no end to your talents, Alexius? That's all I need to know.
Alex, were you a scrap dealer on The Phantom Menace by any chance?
Do you know, Watto could have been my middle name, but let's not go there. It's a different zone entirely. Is this, of course, The Sky is Falling, making your playlist Rebecca Bond?
Definitely, yes. I think I agree with Gabriella in the way that it's very, relaxing, and I can picture it perfect for summer. It's sunny outside, your song's playing in the background, everything's okay again, we're out of lockdown. That's how like uplifting I think the song makes me feel, and I think that's really good when you can bring the emotion out in someone in that way. I was interested to ask though, Chloe, like where you think you got your style of singing or music writing from, because you do have a very lovely and distinct style. And I wondered where that came from. Is that from the music you listen to? Where did that come from?
Yeah, absolutely. I love Kate Bush. I'm a massive fan of her. And I know I've got a totally different voice to her, but she's incredible.
We were beating about the bush earlier, of course, Chloe, as Philip will attest to.
Alex. But yeah, and she's incredible and she's so distinctive. And I think she's emotive within her lyrics as well, and the way that she performs on stage. And I think that's something that I wanted to bring through to my music. And being an actress as well, maybe that's something that I could bring into it, because I know she sort of acts in the music videos as well. And she does like these amazing dances. I can't dance though. I tell you something, Rebecca, I get on the stage, start dancing, everybody leaves. I can't dance. I can, oh, bless you. I can sing and I can act. Not bad, not bad. But crikey.
Can't do everything. But no, I love that you've got your own distinct style. I think, you know, it's great to be influenced by people, but for you to really turn that into something that's distinct to you, and you do have that wonderful voice that is very you, and I like that. I love that about you. So, you know, you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
Jessica, so listen, tell us, can you tell us what the next steps might be, Chloe? I mean, you know, have you got a decent, you know, management? Have you got people who are looking after your interests and all that kind of stuff?
Yep, I've got help with help with radio and PR, and I've got a lot of support through BBC Introducing as well. And obviously Alex with Siren FM. I know Alex is always there supporting me as well, and that means a lot. But it is really difficult. I'm still pushing, slogging away, and you've just got to keep going. And I'm not where I want to be, but I think it's just a case of the right person listening to the song, and then hopefully doing, you know, try, you know, hopefully I'll get some help there, because that's really what I'm hoping for. It's difficult. It is, but yeah. I've got to keep going.
And you know that late, I mean, careers in the music business and other, you know, industries are made on things like YouTube and the amount of hits and the amount of listens. And you go to a label and say, "I've got 2 million listens." They're not going to turn you down. They're going to say, "Oh, right, we'll sign you up." You know, and that's just the way of it. It's just about numbers, isn't it? You know, and maybe that's the way to go these days. I think certainly with concerts and live appearances not being, you know, available to an awful lot of performers right now, maybe that's the way to go, is to go online and build up a following that way.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Definitely, it is in the numbers, I'm afraid, like you've said.
It's about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just keeping pushing them numbers up. That's all you can do, and keep going. So if you've got a dream, go for it.
Absolutely. And that gets your Google rankings up and everything, you know, that really helps, you know, that's definitely true.
9 people, 2 million listens. How many refreshes is that?
Work at it. That's the important thing, just to keep on going. Chloe, any reason for releasing it on April Fool's Day? Was that a deliberate sort of policy that you said, it's April the 1st, as long as it released before 12 noon, it could actually surprise everybody?
Well, it was a strange one, because I kind of thought, oh, April the 1st. And then I thought about it. And then I thought, well, it is April Fool's Day. But I kind of thought about this after I'd kind of scheduled it. And then I thought, well, it is, sky is falling. It's like the end of the world. So it does go with April Fool's. Exactly. we're all going to go. No, we're not. We're living. We're surviving. We're going to live for a long, long time. Everybody stick together. It's all gravy. It's
good
all
for
good.
You. Good for you.
We should have actually gone for Chicken Little. Jessica, any thoughts or questions for yourself? I mean, obviously from the home, from the country of indeed Chicken Little, as I believe it's actually based there. You know, little hen, little, you know, the sky is falling, says Chicken Little. And one day, of course, it will. Thoughts, please.
I do love Chicken Little. It's so cute. So I'm happy hearing all those references. But Chloe, I have a question. On your Instagram, like, I would see this image for this song, and your outfit and like your whole aesthetic was very like glam for it. And I thought that was really cool. And then for Hearts on the Line, you had this like beautiful red dress. So I was curious, do you get to pick like what your kind of aesthetic is visually for each song, or is it something that you plan out?
Yeah, absolutely. I just felt like, because the song is quite starry and it reminds me of planets and you know, astrology and things like that, so I kind of wanted to go with something that was quite sparkly and glamorous kind of looking as the other song with Hearts on the Line. I just imagined being in a field, so I wanted to go for that kind of country feel vibe to it. So that's why, yeah, I did kind of have an influence of my outfits for that. But with COVID as well, I was also I had less images to choose from. It was dreadful. I thought, what can I choose? Because I couldn't go out and do a photo shoot. Oh no. But hopefully very soon I will be able to.
I hope it's all good. That album is like beautiful. I agree. Your like the beautiful dark sparkling image of it really matches the song like completely.
Oh, thanks, Jessica.
We're also featuring a character called Ragsy, whose latest single "Under Clear Skies" is also there. I can sense a kind of combination factor here. It's like sky is falling. Ragsy, Chloe, amazing. Katie, any thoughts from yourself? For any of the team, you don't have to quiz Chloe. I mean, she's obviously there, but you can talk to anybody.
Yeah, I wanted to ask the songwriting process. Like, how long does it take to write a song? Because I can't imagine writing one myself. I think it'd take me ages.
Well, it's a strange one because I think every song is different. So I can find sometimes a song like Hearts on the Line, for example. When I wrote that last year with Harry, that took us 3 hours. We wrote that song in 3 hours. So you just never know. Sometimes I can be in the process of writing a song and it can take me 2 days or even a week, or it can be a song that I leave on the shelf and then I come back to it a month later and then add to it. So it can be different on every song, but I tend to quite enjoy writing with an instrument. I quite enjoy like writing with playing around with chords and then coming with the melody that way. And especially like Harry comes up with a lot of chords as well through using his guitar. And I enjoy the process of that, of even working with two people. I think a collaborating sort of process is you come up with so much more ideas rather than if you were just on your own doing it. So I always look forward to working with Harry on that too.
So we've got little London, we've got Wales, we've got major big London, we've got Gibraltar, we've got Norwich, we've got North Carolina, and we've got Birmingham, and we've got Cleethorpes. I mean, it's really an international sort of setup in so many ways.
It is international. It's bewildering. It's absolutely, I mean, breathtaking, Alex. It really is.
Philip, talk us through what you're doing at present and how's the production going? And are you also doing some writing, not necessarily songwriting, but other writing as well?
What you said, Chloe, was quite interesting, that, you know, about the way you kind of come up with ideas for things, for songs, and how long it takes a song to get together. I'm working at the moment as a non-executive creative director, I might add, of a children's story website, and it's called superbooks.com. And it's, if you just Google...
do you get tomato and vegetable and minestrone?
No, it's not that kind of super. It's actually, if you Google... bedtime stories will come up at the very top of the Google rankings. So it's called superbooks.com, S-O-O-P-E-R books.com. And we've got a whole raft of different stories for the 3 to 5 year olds and then the 5 to 9 year olds. And I'm writing and reworking some of the old traditional fairy tales and stories, but we're also coming up with original ideas, original stories. And we've got one in particular, which we haven't launched yet on the site, which is, and we've got about 8 million, we've had 8 million reads of our stories so far in the last year since this company was set up. We've got this one little raft of stories about these little aliens that live on a planet called Og, and they're called the Ogglebogs, and they're for the very much younger audience, and they're I wrote them and I love them.
It's made for the editor of Starburst magazine to do a top review on.
It's full of charm, it's full of innocence and all the right motives about kindness and consideration and not being greedy. And we put a bit of environmental kind of messaging in as well about looking after the planet and tidying up after yourself on the beach and all that kind of stuff. And we got all these lovely little stories, which I wrote. Now, sometimes a story will just come to me in my brain fully formed, and it's just a question of writing it out. And other times, like the one I'm doing at the moment, actually, is taking forever. I know what the story is going to be, but it's taking me days. And sometimes it takes me an hour to write a whole story. So I completely get what you're saying. Sometimes it's just there. And other times you know there's something in there, a gem of something, and you've got to kind of leave it and then come back to it and rework it. But yeah, superbooks.com, do have a look.
It's worth noting as well, Philip, that should you wish voices, Taryn Kay and Chloe Rose are both very capable voice artists as well. Just putting that out.
So I gather, so I believe, yeah, absolutely, indeed. And we will be building up a stable of other voices as time moves on.
Taryn even has her own studio when she can take herself away from the swimming.
Well, indeed.
Robin, who would you like to speak
never
to?
Never get your microphone wet. It doesn't work, I swear.
I'd like to know what Taryn's up to these days.
Well, today I went swimming. That was, you missed the show earlier. I went to the Lido because it was so exciting because it opened yesterday and I went swimming yesterday as well. So I've been having a great time. But what am I doing professionally? Voiceovers. It's mainly e-learning, teaching children how to speak English. So I, you know, just lots of
something, work. Of course, that we can use here in Wales.
Yes. Yes.
Well, but it could be argued that Irish people and Welsh people speak the best English in these islands. It could be argued.
Yes, but they've got an accent.
Oh, you flatterer.
Whereabouts are you in Wales, Robin, just out of interest?
North Wales, on the Llyn Peninsula, small town called Pwllheli. It's a seaside resort.
Oh, I know of it, yeah. My brother lives in St David's, which is down the coast, of course.
All right, yeah, yeah.
Pembroke.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That is about 3 miles away from the house.
Have you performed there, Taryn? Have you performed at that old Pwllheli Buttons?
No, I performed at Clandidno. Was the theatre there in Clandidno?
Yep, the venue Cymru.
And where else? Oh, where's the men come from? Because there weren't any men
the
there.
The Menai there's Straits?
Oh, no, you were there before me, Alex.
It's a song, isn't it? I perform quite a lot of Wales.
Harlech.
Hey, Harlech, that's it. And we didn't see the men. I was very disappointed. But, yeah.
Can you recite the name of that town for Jess here? That Welsh town with the immensely long name. Do you know that one at all?
Are you talking to Taryn or me?
I'm talking to you, Robin.
Of course I can.
Can because Jess, I'm sure, would just fall about when she hears the name of this town.
All right. This is the longest town name, okay? Are you ready?
Ready.
Llanfair Pwll Gwyngyll, Golgerich, Wyndrobwyll, Llantysilio, Gogogoch.
That's a town name.
Gosh. That is a town name.
So long.
RPG for short.
Well, is the football team entirely united?
I love the story of the two Americans were sitting in a burger bar and they were having a burger and they invited the waitress over and they're in this town, you know, and they invited the waitress over to say, excuse me, honey, can you tell us where we are? She said, be Burger King. That's an amazing place, isn't it? Jess,
do you want to say it along with me?
Oh, no.
Go for it, Jessica. It's time you took this challenge.
I can practice for a month trying to memorize it, and then I'll get back to you.
It took me about 18 months to get Alex to say Pwllheli.
Yeah.
It's fantastic, isn't it? What a wonderful place. I'd love to go. I've never been there, but I'd love to, you know, be able to say the town name, but I don't think I will.
Well, I mean,
I'll email it to you phonetically.
Yes.
Oh, that would be good, Robin. That would be good.
It's a very lyrical aspect. Shall we try Chloe in terms of going along with you? Let's see if she can actually do it. So, Robin, off you go.
Okay. Are you ready? Llanfair. Llanfair Pwll.
Llanfair Pwll. I'm trying to do the accent.
Wingish.
Wingish.
Chwyn Drobwyll.
Chwyn Grochwyll.
Llantysilio.
Llantysilio.
Gogogoch.
Gogogoch.
There you go.
Not bad.
That's pretty impressive.
Really, and my fellow countrymen will hate me for saying this. Just imagine you're speaking Klingon.
Wonderful.
And that's why Star Trek is a foundation of so many delightful things. Gabriella, anybody you'd like to speak to in the closing moments here?
Jess, how about you tell us how things are in America? Because I know how life is, I think, more or less in the UK, but I haven't heard much about what's going on in America lately.
It really it varies so much by state. There was a confirmation of one of the COVID variants for the first time in New York, which is probably the worst place it could be in. But here in North Carolina, we're kind of just slowly vaccinating. We have a mask mandate in place into April, and I'm going to get my vaccine on Thursday, which is good. But yeah, I feel like things are pretty much the same. It's so funny hearing people say like first wave, second wave of COVID, because I feel like we've just been in like one long wave here. It's kind
of tsunami.
It's just not really changing. So Yeah, not a lot of places are opening or anything. There was that whole chaos in Miami, which was just crazy.
So are you students going on spring break dress? That's the whole thing. Spring break. It's a COVID party.
Yeah. Just say Ron DeSantis and you know what, you're in trouble.
It was so ridiculous watching on the news. So that was probably the biggest thing that happened recently with COVID here. But otherwise, it's pretty normal.
The president forgets what he's saying every so often, but that's okay. You know, at least he's sort of got honorable intentions. And I believe the former president, his wife is actually getting quite bored with him now. Well, never mind. Life continues.
I think that was something that happened quite some time ago, I suspect. Bigly.
So clearly, people need to rush out and actually book and pre-order The Sky is Falling. Available, Chloe, on definitely most major platforms?
It is indeed. So it's on Spotify, Apple Music. It's also available on, did I say Apple Music? But if you want to keep up with my socials as well, you can head over to Facebook. That's Chloe Rose, Chloe Rose. It's a bit quirky with a Y. It's also Instagram as well, and Twitter. It's Chloe Official.
Cool. Well, listen, onward and upward. I think you've got a magnificent voice on it. You should have a bright future. Robin and I both agree on that one.
Thank you so
and
much.
And we are, as Robin said, we're gentlemen of good taste. Cultured gentlemen of taste, I
cultured
think.
Oh, absolutely cultured, yes.
One of them, of course, did a superlative voiceover for a lettuce, and you can't get higher praise than that when it comes to...
I did indeed, yes. Those are the heady days of mayonnaise commercials.
And Philip, any particular sort of areas people should go to for superbooks?
Well, just go online and find superbooks.com and listen to the stories. There are a lot of free stories out there. The subscription is $7.95 a year, so we're seeing ourselves as the Netflix of children's stories, and we're constantly adding to the kind of the quantity of stories that we're putting on there. So it's a question of writing and narrating and making sure there's of a very high quality and all original. And, you know, we will move to getting more subscription on the more actual stories that we have on the website, the more people will be inclined to subscribe. But we will be adding stories constantly as time goes on. So there will be a kind of a groundswell, and we'll achieve a momentum where we have a need for other voices. So maybe we will come to you guys at some point, you know. So, but it's just a lovely thing to be associated with, and doing work of that kind is it's just worthwhile, and it's it's great. I just love it, talking to children. And you know, I've done children's television in Ireland as well. So, I mean, you know, I've done that kind of thing. And kids, and, you know, got to play, you know, theatre and education as well. So I've done all that kind of stuff. So I just
it's just a non-stop series of leprechaun challenges and joys. That's the whole
thing. I know, you have it there, all right. You have it there, all right. No doubt about it.
And we can also say that plugging another routine, Jessica, Chloe, Rebecca and myself also have appeared with Larry Nemechek. You can actually see a full YouTube video of a Midweek Drive Zoomer. That is also out there now. It has actually gone into the system. I don't know if you've caught that as yet, Jessica or Chloe or Rebecca. I mean, Rebecca, you've seen it. I think if you took myself out, it would be a much better sort of piece. But sadly, that wasn't an option when they sort of said, you know, put it online so you can actually see a full YouTube version of this. Whether we actually go to full multimedia approaches, frankly, I don't know. I think the scenery is so much better on radio, we should keep it like that, although using the magic of Zoom to interweave within that. Taryn, should I actually go to your good self after you destroyed everybody with respect to the phenomenal asking of the last two questions? I think actually... because Philip Hurdwood technically is head boy. I mean, he goes back even before you did, Taryn, back in the day.
When Alexius and I were both in short pants, short trousers when we started, weren't we?
Stop beating around the
bush. And high voices. And here's the Midweek Drive. That was Alexius. And then I came along and said, I'd like to be on your radio show. And you said, of course. And that's how it was initially, wasn't it?
Yeah, where did it all go?
That was only five years ago.
So, exactly. Just when Gabriella was actually graduating from the University of Lincoln. Go for it, Taryn. Last two questions, please.
Yes. Philip?
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to get you all to do it together. Philip, Katie, Robin, I've got the names here, Jess, Gabriella, Rebecca and Chloe. Have you all had a really interesting time?
Definitely.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And the next question, I'm going to go individually. Philip, would you like to come back again if we invite you?
Only if Alex asks me nicely.
Okay. Katie, how about you? Would you come back again?
Yes, of course, I will.
Oh, that's nice. Robin, how about you? Would you come back?
At this stage of my life, I will go anywhere they'll have me.
Fabulous. Yes, I'm sure you'd come back again.
Yes, totally. You? Please.
Yeah, that's it. And Gabriella, you'll come back again because there's not a lot to do in Gibraltar, is there? So you want to
we're
do something.
We're open.
On the hand grenade in there, Taryn.
We're currently open having our pints.
Oh, there you go. So, yeah, you're a lot better off than us, let's be honest.
Yeah, but I will definitely be back.
I thought you would. And Rebecca, you'll be back, won't you? Because you enjoy these shows.
As always. I'd love to.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, Chloe will be back.
Who is the star of the show?
Love to be back.
Yes, star of the show.
If Alex will have me back.
Of course he will.
Oh, dear.
A round of applause for all Midweek Drivettes and Chloe Rose's latest single, of course, April the 1st. That's when it goes. Get it. Otherwise, you will never be able to actually face your grandchildren with any kind of sanity ever again.
Very true.
I wish I could say, do you feel the same? Is it love or just a game? Will you change my life again? So long I've been waiting for you, just to say that I'll adore you.
adaptation, the key word when it comes to evolution. And it seems that adaptation, or indeed application adaptation, is very much what's been happening as far as the online communities have been concerned. And of course, our reaction to the pandemic, with 46% of the United Kingdom significantly changing the way they shop. And indeed, 52% of 16 to 24 year olds wanting high street shops to feel as convenient as apps. Now to actually talk about the shift towards more subscription apps, and indeed the popularity of subscription apps, we're delighted to welcome the Vice President of Mobile at Emesis. That's wonderful. Chris Godridge, how are you, Chris?
Good morning, Alex. Thank you for having me. Wonderful to be here.
Excellent. It's good to connect with your good self, of course. What we're doing now, using the magic of Zoom, is an application that you can also sort of put into your system. And it's just one of many things that are there. I must admit, at the start of the pandemic, I tended to cancel most of my subscriptions. But gradually, I've kind of restored some of the kind of online streaming services, etc. But tell us about this research in particular that Emesis has carried out and what the key findings have been.
Sure, absolutely. What we've found is really that ever since we were put into lockdown and under restrictions, shops obviously having to close, people have really looked for new ways to not just shop, but also research and browse. This activity of shopping has pretty much shifted completely online. Now, with everything being on a browser and in web, you lose one of the key elements when you think about shopping, and that's the social component. So when you transfer this experience onto a mobile device, be that your smartphone or your tablet, you have that ability to interact with other people using all of your different messaging apps. So it puts you into an environment that feels very close to the shopping experience that you would want to have, while still having a lot of the convenience that you would want in times of uncertainty of just doing everything from home.
Now, Emesis have also developed an ebook, which is Tap to Subscribe, The Psychology of Mobile Subscription. I mean, clearly, there's an awful lot of effort and research going into our habits of whether we're swiping right, swiping left, clicking on this, or indeed scrolling until we find the thing that we're most looking for.
Absolutely. I think one of the key components, especially when we look at the pandemic and the implications that it has on all of us, we live in times of uncertainty, we live in times of hardship. So as mundane as it sounds, a subscription, something that recurs, it's nothing that's new to us per se. We've been having cable subscriptions and newspaper subscriptions for a while, but that reassurance that something occurs on a regular basis is something that we as people really long for. We've seen that people want that continuity, that habit of knowing that something will happen at a certain time in the future. It gives you reassurance. It allows you to look forward to something. And in times when we don't know when we'll be able to head back to the pub, or when it will be okay to crowd ourselves into the dressing rooms at our favorite high street retail, that reassurance that we have that we get things on time and we can consume them in regular intervals is really key to how we want to shop these days.
Is there an additional level of frustration, though, that gets manifested if we actually have weak broadband or our internet service isn't quite as good as we are? I mean, surely that can also lead to frustration over our lack of apps and subscriptions.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this time around, we've really put the telecommunications companies to the test and made them realize how heavily we rely on broadband and how important it is that the service is up to speed. I will say this, however, if we really consider what is the value add that consumers are looking for when they engage with an app, it doesn't necessarily have to be the most bandwidth consuming experience. Oftentimes people just want to be able to communicate. They want to have questions answered. They may want to browse. It doesn't have to be 4K content that stream. Not every application that consumers interact with out there need that kind of content and experience.
Now, one of the aspects about the World Wide Web, of course, is the first word, really. It's worldwide. It's global and connected from that instance. And this particular research, of course, took place across five countries, including the United Kingdom, Australia, and the United States. So a big slice of system there. And I'm quite intrigued, Chris, to actually find that, again, 16 to 24-year-olds sign up to at least one monthly subscription. A third of us, though, have a food subscription, which is the most popular form, ahead of beauty, alcohol. alcohol, interesting, health and fitness, and then fashion and style. For some reason, that again, I think in terms of subscriptions, one tends to think about subscription services like the Disney Plus channel, Netflix, Amazon, all the other sort of channels and systems that are actually out there. But clearly, this is another way of kind of engaging with the shopping experience.
Absolutely. And I think you've raised a really interesting and important point here. Up until the pandemic, when we spoke about subscriptions primarily in the digital space, we would talk about subscriptions relating to digital content. So you mentioned Disney Plus, we could talk about things like Netflix or Spotify, all these kind of services. And it's only really picked up as a trend. And that's also something that our research has shown. During the pandemic, people have moved into taking that subscription model and apply it to the actual purchase of physical goods. So we here in the UK, we look at things like Oddbox, where we rescue fruits and vegetables that people don't want anymore. Or we look at things like Farm Drop, a lot of the smaller shops offering these recurring deliveries simply because people feel uncomfortable going out to the shops. If they go to the shops, they don't know if what they actually want to buy will be on stock. And having that subscription element, again, gives them that bit of reassurance. So I think there's a stronger shift going into a subscription space when we speak of products and services that are outside of the physical space. We see car companies getting more and more into a subscription that you have a car for a year or two, and then by nature of that subscription, you can get a new one after 2 years. So I think we'll see more of that coming in the years to come in a variety of different industries.
Yeah, although I would have thought in the latter case, it's not so much subscription as more rental, but that's a different line entirely. Is this something which is irretrievable, that we're actually down this line now, that it's inevitable that actually the driving to a much more online-based economy is clearly it's there, and that businesses who don't actually adapt, to go back to the start of this piece, will effectively become extinct?
I think it's... I wish I knew, but to be honest, I think what we will see is that the lines between online and offline will become more blurry. And I think that's where the usage and how consumers interact with brands on mobile devices will play a major role. When we go back into our high street stores, we have always had our phones with us. The way we will use our phones in stores in a post-pandemic time will be very different to how we were using them before. On the other hand, human beings are very social. We will never be able, or we will never want, and I'm taking a bit of a bet here, we will never want to replace human interaction, human contact in the real world and exchange that for digital. If we have the option, we will always opt for the real life human experience. But I don't think one will replace the other. I think it will be very difficult for brands to get a foothold and to continue thriving and being successful without integrating in a smart and a holistic way a digital component into their strategy. But generally speaking, I think and I see that the lines and between the two, online and offline, digital and real world, will just converge more and more.
Fascinating sort of insight in terms of where we're heading in terms of the 21st century. Chris, if people are wanting to find out more information about the survey and indeed the things we've been speaking about today, where would you point them? Where's the best web address to actually go?
Just come visit us at www.emarsys.com.
Chris Godridge, Vice President of Mobile at Emarsys. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on, and may your apps all be happy ones.
Thank you very much for having me.